Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and here we are another Tuesday.
Yes.
You know what? It's a crazy Tuesday, too, because it was the full strawberry moon the past couple of nights. Yep. And I think it's bringing with us some crazy shifting energy for the good.
Have the solstice coming up, too. So
the solstice is this weekend. I know.
Yeah. So it's kind of a big energy week. So
it is. It is. And, you know, you can feel it. So, like, when I went to bed last night, Casey and I ran out in the street to see if we could see that full moon, and it wasn't up yet, and it was like 10:30, you know, I get up at 5, so it's like I kind of have to go to bed by then. And so this morning when I took Melly, because, you know, I leap out of bed now at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning to take Melly for a walk, and there it was, and she was beautiful, but, you know, the energy outside at 5 a.m. now is just crazy.
It's awesome.
It is so awesome. You can almost just feel it vibrating all around you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you totally can. I know I go out often early in the morning. You know, sometime between mm-hmm. 5 and 6, I'll get up and take my dog out, and
yep.
It's really nice out, and it's getting light out at 5 o'clock, and... You know, it is light out at 5 o'clock, and it's just the energy
is
really
totally
cool.
Light out. It's totally light out. I guess I was really surprised at how much lighter this week it was than last week at that same time. So, but now after the solstice, you know, we'll start going backwards.
Shush now.
But you know, we're in high summer, so all this stays around for quite a while. I mean, you know, so it might not be so bright at 5 a.m. in the morning in a couple of weeks, but it's all good.
It's still nice out. Yeah,
It's all a part of the process. You know, it's good.
Yep. It is. It's good.
But craziness abounds with all that. And that, like I said, the full strawberry moon, I did click a couple pictures with my cell phone. And it was, so the sun was coming up and the sky was pink. And it was just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. The moon, of course, is really not red or strawberry color. No. But because it was in that light, you know, it's just the coolest thing ever, you know? Yeah. And, yeah, it was really very, very cool. So, and then we have, like you said, the solstice happens on Friday this week. I don't remember.
Friday.
Okay, so Friday
21st,
is the solstice.
Right?
Yeah, is it the 21st? Okay, well, sometimes it's on the
22nd. Sometimes it's 20th. It might be the 20th. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look it up. I'm not honestly, like.
I'll have to look that up, too. But, yeah, so, yeah, it's lots of celebration, and we need to, you know, get out there and say thanks to all the powers that be, you know, for allowing us to be here and, you know, feeling all this energy and all this growth. And my yard has weeds in every corner, you know, even the mulch that I just put down like 3 weeks ago has weeds in it now. So I'm going, I mean, I can't keep up anymore. Oh, well, you know.
Well, I think something like that is a good issue to have.
Oh, it is.
You have a garden. You have a garden to weed. You have plants in your garden. You've got the ability to weed it. So
I do, and my garden is just growing by leaps and bounds. It's just the craziest thing ever, you know. So it's a really fun time right now. So what do you got going on? What did you do something fun over the weekend?
Well, I was working at the studio on Saturday, which was great. I was actually teaching a class last night, a tarot class. It's level two, and cool. So we go into more in-depth study, but afterwards we did a ceremony outside for the full moon.
Oh, fun! Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of fun. I asked the group, I said, I didn't realize when I booked the class that it would overlap on the full moon, you know, because I have to plan this stuff out so far in advance. I don't always look at that stuff. So mm-hmm. I looked at the calendar earlier this month and I went, oh, I scheduled a class. I'm like, well, maybe they'll want to do it. So I asked the class, I said, hey, if we take the last, you know, part of the class and go outside and do a little ceremony to burn these intention statements that I've been gathering in my cauldron. I have a little cauldron mm-hmm. off to the side of one of my crystal grids. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if you guys want to go out, you can help me burn these and we can do a little, you know, mini ceremony to release. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. everybody was all on board with it. Like, yep, let's do it.
Like, oh, well, yeah, because it is cool. So, it is such a cool thing to do. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Normally when it's the full moon, I do a little something out in the backyard, you know, by myself with, you know, the shell and stuff. But, you know, it just came upon so fast. And it was mm-hmm. like last night, like I said, I went to bed at 10:30 and the moon still wasn't up because it's that time of year now where it doesn't rise till late, yep. really late. So, and then I could have done it this morning, I guess, but you know, kind of in a rush in the morning.
We could do it after the show.
That's true. Could do that. It's still full. Absolutely.
Yeah. We have a window. It's all good.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's absolutely all good. So I had kind of a cool experience this past weekend. It wasn't really an experience, but it was just something different. And, you know, we always say that we should be watching first animal signs and, you know, yeah. if something is there and looking at you and what is the scoop on that. So I was coming home. I had dropped Casey off at, she was going out on Saturday night and she didn't go out till late. You know, that sometimes I do that too. It was, I don't know, well, it wasn't hugely late. It was like about 9:45, and I was driving home from St. Paul, and I was over on, right by the Northwestern University campus, you know, over there on mm-hmm. Snow.
Yeah.
And I turned on the Lydia, and all of a sudden, ahead of me, like about a half a block, this deer, big deer, bounded across the road. And I'm like, am I seeing this? Because I mean, you know, it's suburban, but you know, I have deer in my yard occasionally too. So it wasn't that surprising, but to see him bound over this little Lydia street. And then he was very wide, or she, I'm not sure if it was a doe or a buck, but look, you know, looking both ways. And then when it got to the other side, it stood on the corner. And as I passed, it was a beautiful animal. And like I said, I couldn't tell. You know, it was dark and it's hard to see. I couldn't see antlers, but I don't know if they really have antlers yet right now anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But it was big. This animal was big and very well fed and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I remember looking on the other side of the street before I passed him because I thought usually they are not alone. Usually they're with one or two others.
Well, yeah, if you see one cutting in front of you, you better watch out.
There's another one. And I looked, there were no other animals. And so I looked back and this deer was sitting there, standing there, looking at me in the eyes, you know, like, like trying to tell me something. And I'm like, I didn't think much about it at first. I'm just like, oh, you know, whatever. And I came home, but then I thought about it. I've been thinking about it, you know, ever since. And so I went, of course, you know, we all say we should look and see what all this means, you know what I mean, what they could have been talking about. And, you know, it's funny, but some of the things it said was, you know, like, you know, you should take it easy on yourself and, you know, deer are very gentle, caring spirits and, you know, maybe you just need time for yourself. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, Heidi, because we do, right? We're so busy all the time and we just never take time to take care of ourselves, I guess mm-hmm. is what I'm saying, you know? And see, it says like this, for example, it says, deer symbolism is often a sign not to be too hard on yourself. And in other words, you must calm the voice of self-critic and treat yourself with gentleness and understanding. Mm. And it also prompts you to be yourself and continue along your path.
Nice.
And then I also read, I read a couple of different things, and one of them was like, you know, this means that you should take a leap, you know, and then be cautious, because, you know, deer are always cautious, but you need to take that leap and just move on in your path, and it's maybe a new thing for you, and this is a new beginning or whatever. All of these same things that I think are happening with this change and this crazy energy that's out there right now, this whole shift, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought, wow, isn't that just cool? But I mean,
does that fit?
It really does.
Some of it. Okay.
It really does. You know, and this deer, like I said, beautiful, big, huge, healthy, just gorgeous. And
nice.
Just stood there and just looked, you know, and I'm like kind of driving, looking, like, you know, and I, like I said, it was late, I was tired, and it was dark, and didn't pay much attention, but boy, it sure stuck with me, you know. And finally, I'm like, I gotta find out what that means, if anything. And, you know, it really does. It really does. So I think for those of you out here, I know Heidi and I talk about this a lot, you know, if you see an animal, for example, over and over and over again, you should go look at this. But this was just something so different. You know, it wasn't like I keep seeing deer. It was just this one, but it was just the way he stood there or she stood there and looked at me and, you know, like trying to tell me something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you
that's
don't
very
necessarily
cool.
think about it at the time. But then as your mind processes this and processes this, you know, it kind of goes back to it and goes back to it. And what does this mean? Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, I think this all kind of ties into the whole intuition thing, right? It's like my intuition was telling me this deer is trying to tell me something. You know, what
yep,
is it?
Exactly.
What is she or he trying to say? You know, don't you think?
I think it, yep, absolutely. I mean, that's how spirit can talk to us in many ways, shapes, and forms. So I'm wondering how the cougar loose in Minneapolis, or not Minneapolis proper, but out in the suburbs, was what it was trying to tell us last week. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, there was a cougar. It was all over the news. Spotted up in Elk River in that area last Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah, all that was telling me is don't go outside. I mean, don't let your dog out without a human present. So,
well, you know, they're kind of, there's a lot of cougars in the state right now, you know, and I know that up north they're everywhere, you know, like one of the researchers up there, I was telling us, you know, beware of cougars, look up in the trees because that's where they are, you know, and they'll jump on you, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're not afraid of us. Like, you know, I wouldn't be necessarily afraid of a wolf unless there was a whole pack and they mm-hmm. were there looking at us. Cause I truly think
I still don't think they would do anything though.
I don't either.
No,
I kind of
cougars. Yeah. They don't care.
Exactly. That's what I mean. You know, and bears are more afraid. I think bears are afraid of us too, unless it's a mama with babies, and then you really got to be careful.
Yeah.
But cougars, yeah, they're just kind of cold-blooded killers, you know, and they just hang up in the trees and just wait for their prey, you know?
Yeah. So, they, I mean, I've seen stories. Even on like Animal Planet and different things. So I would imagine that they're not fake stories, you know, that they actually happened. It wasn't a fiction. It was real,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that people that have been attacked by cougars and they were it was unprovoked. It was just someone minding their own business and, you know, they were attacked. So it's like, oh, that's kind of scary. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
So Elk River, wow, that is really close to the city.
Yeah, it was on the news. It was all over the news that there was one loose. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, okay.
Totally missed that one, man. What's up with that? But yeah, so well, you know. I don't know. There's just a lot of crazy things happening, I think, right now. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely the deer thing is, you know, that is kind of, you know, how this intuition thing mm-hmm. can work, right? You know, and
yes.
we both have, I mean, everybody's intuitive.
To mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody yes. on this planet. I don't care how much of a rock you think you are,
yes.
or, you know, a block of wood, whatever, you
yes.
are intuitive. And, you know, when you think of even just having, you know, people say, well, I just had this feeling in my gut, like, or I had a gut instinct. It's
mm-hmm.
like, well, that's intuition. I don't care what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I just had this feeling, something just, you know, and most okay. people have experienced that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, like we said last week, you and I texted each other at the exact same instant because
yeah,
I pressed send and your message came to me at that same moment. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. And we were both asking the same thing. Well, what do you, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I just giggled. I was at work, you know, and I'm like, same exact time, you
yep.
know, it was just bizarre. And, you know, often, so people listening, you know, often, you know, I know that, you know, we're probably more in tune because this is what we do, but you know, I'll just think of someone and then they'll be on the phone or there'll be a text or something. And it's like, you know, but I never say to myself, oh, she's going to call or she's going to text. But, you know, then within a few seconds, something happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? A text, a call, something, you know? So, yeah. And, you know, so before I knew you very well, Heidi, I remember I took your class called Developing Your Intuition, or I can't remember what it was called because it was quite a few years
ago. Yeah, that was it.
And you've changed it. You've switched it up a little bit since then.
A little bit, but it's pretty much the same thing. So
yeah, and that was like, that's when I got to know you pretty good. I mean, of course, then we got the radio show and we're all, you know, whatever, do a lot of stuff together and we're all in the, you know, this crazy big book group and cryptids and stuff. But that was a really good class, I think, for anyone out
there.
It taught me a lot, and I often encourage, you know, people if they're wondering about intuition and how to control it. And for those of us who are empathic, I mean, that was a part of it too. You know, how do I deal with this? You know, because it's crazy. So yeah, so I know not everybody lives in Minnesota, and you can't go to the My Spirit Experience Studios and take this course from Heidi.
Well,
but
I do offer it over online now.
Oh, so, you do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people can participate while I am teaching it. We can Skype them in or FaceTime, you know, Facebook message or video, whatever you call it. So it's like, whatever. Yeah. I had last one I ran, I had a gal from Florida in the show or in the class.
Oh, that's really cool. I love it.
So, because I had so many people, you know, people have been asking, hey, I want to take your class, but I'm not there. So, but thank you. I appreciate you, saying that, because it is, you know, it's what I teach people based on how I learned to deal with this.
Yes. And I do, you know, it stayed with me all these years. And I know different people will ask me questions, you know, and I feel like I can answer them a little bit anyway, because I did have that class. And I think it was a fabulous class. And okay, I'm really giving you a plug. But it's true.
Thank you.
But it's true. And I think it helped me a lot. And I think for anyone, you know, who has intuition and just wonders how to control it, what does it mean? Oh man, that's really a good place to start for sure. You know?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a thing that a lot of people want to get a handle on, that know that they have some kind of intuition. I mean, people come to me on a regular basis, even when I'm not having those classes, they come to me on a regular basis saying, I want to grow my intuition, or wow, it's out of control. How do I manage my intuition?
Exactly.
You know, and so those are pretty common things that people want to get information on, you know, is like, how do you do it? So, but it was funny. I had, it was a weird amount of people. Not weird amount. I shouldn't say it like that. It was not a bad thing. But last week, it was after, you know, it was before we decided the topic, I think. And I had a lot of people coming to me wanting to set up appointments around this subject. So I should have realized what was happening, that we were going to talk about it. And a lot of people were coming to me saying, you know, hey, can I set up an appointment? I really want to, you know, get a few tips before, you know, maybe I can take your class this fall, but, you know, maybe I get some pointers now. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, come on in, let's do this. Because intuition doesn't wait necessarily for September either, you know? So it's like, you want to know now how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I missed the point of my story. Gosh, I missed the point. I had this point in my story, and I like, I know. One of the funny things that came up was I had someone say, you know, I want to grow and open more. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, okay. I said, that's possible. I said, I don't know how much anybody can open. I said, you just have to go and see where you end up. I said, because everybody's going to be different. I said, but I can show you how to do it, you know, and do it safely too, because that's one of the things that I'm very all about protections, right?
Yes.
And he said, well, yeah, I'm good. Everything that's happened so far, you know, even some of the things that have been bad or not good that I feel weren't good, it's fine. I'm not scared of whatever happened. And I looked at him and I paused and I said, okay. I said, you're saying you're not scared, but that's because you haven't been scared.
Right.
And he looked at me like it took a second to process, and he's like, oh. And I said, right. Of course you're not scared now. You haven't been scared. I said, let me tell you, it's a game changer when something happens and you are truly terrified. Mm-hmm. I said, so let's just, because I think the way he was saying, he's like, I want to just fling the door open and do more of this and have more come in. I'm like, well, let's just be careful here. You know, we can't just fling the door open because the intuition part can get way ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And where you are protection-wise. So you have to be really careful and kind of ease into it so that you're not overwhelmed and something can come in and kind of get you, you know, lack of a better term. So, yeah, it was, I was like, well, you haven't been scared yet. That's why. He's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, don't assume that just because you haven't been scared doesn't mean you won't be scared. I said, let me tell you, because when you do get scared, it is terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, it can be. So
yes, absolutely. So if someone comes to you and says, Heidi, what do I do with this? What can you teach me? Like, you know, and I know besides of your class. So what do you tell them? Like if they come for a consultation, if someone were to say, what is intuition and how do we know that we have it?
Well, what is it? Well, it's information coming from outside of ourselves.
Right.
It's a knowing.
That's a good answer. Or
it's just information of some way, shape, or form. It could be feeling. It could be hearing. It could be seeing. It could be anything. Smelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's information coming from outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I can explain it. It's like in a nutshell version, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe sums it up. I mean, there's obviously pieces and parts to it, but
right.
It's information coming from outside of you. Mm-hmm. It's not coming from your own brain, your own thoughts, or your own random ideas. It's coming from further out. It's not you. And so what was the second part? What were you saying?
What is it? And what do you do if you receive this information? And, you know, I mean, people, I would imagine if you're not used to getting this information, you might be a little bit scared, especially if you just brush it aside. And then something happened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's something that people do come to me and say, I have premonitions and what do I do? I don't want them.
Right.
And I said, like, look, I'm like, well, what kind of premonitions are you having?
Yeah.
And so they'll tell me that they saw someone, you know, like your thing. I saw my friend, she hit a deer with her car or I saw a friend of mine, I didn't know who it was, but I saw a friend of mine hit a deer with their car or something. And, or I saw this happen or that happen or a friend, you know, fall off their bike or whatever. And, you know, and then it happened.
Yeah.
It's like, it freaked out. I didn't want to have it happen. And I said, well, okay. And I've had this conversation with many people. I said, well, so you had some negative, what you'd say is negative premonitions and they came true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, let's flip the coin because I'm going to guess you had positive, what you would call positive premonitions, and they came true as well.
Yes.
See? And when they think about it, they're like, well, yeah. I said, think of something good that you knew was coming. You knew it was going to happen to someone. It may not have been you, but you knew something good was going to happen to someone and it came true. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I knew, and actually it was more specific. Like, oh, I knew a friend of mine was pregnant and she hadn't told anybody. And she was, you know, I knew she was pregnant. It's like, I got this and like all of a sudden I knew. And then, you know, a few weeks later, she started telling people and it's like, I knew. And she hadn't talked about having, you know, trying or anything like that. Or then, you know, oh, I had this thought that I was going to go on a trip somewhere really nice. I just had this idea, like I should go somewhere nice. And then all of a sudden my husband comes home because it's, we're going to go on a vacation. You know, I got extra time off of work and I think we should go to Florida or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, that's cool. Right.
Yes.
I said, so that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that, you know, when you have a positive premonition, it's the negative ones you don't want, but here's the deal. You don't get to choose.
No, they all come at you the same.
Right.
It doesn't
matter. So if you don't want one, you don't have the other.
Right.
So people get upset and you know, here's what I think is really interesting is people, when they have a negative premonition, they're like, I don't want spirit to give me this. I don't want this to happen. I don't want this. I just want it to turn off. But they wouldn't say it about the good ones.
No.
It's like, well, you don't want the good ones then either, do you? Well, those are kind of cool. I'm like, well, then you don't get to pick and choose. It's intuition.
You're going to get them both. Yeah.
When you get information, you get information.
Yeah.
It's just, what are you going to do to process what comes through?
Exactly.
You know, if it's a premonition, you can't do anything about because you don't know who is going to hit the deer.
No.
You just, all you can do is maybe send a little Reiki out into the world of your friends and say, just be safe, you know?
Yes. Yes. Be safe, everyone, you know?
I mean, that's all you can do. Yeah. Unless you know who it is, and then you just tell them to be safe because you may not know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Because you still, it's almost like, I don't know if the, some of this is supposed to be intending to change things. Mm-hmm. It's just part of how you get information. And sometimes we don't get to choose what kind of intuition we have.
Right.
You know, some people hear things, some people see things, some people smell things, some people, you know, whatever. You know, there's animals they're really connected to. Some are, they see mm-hmm. their spirit guides. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, you don't always get to pick how your intuition comes in. So if it's premonitions, it's premonitions.
Yes.
You know? So
yes.
you either try and turn it off or yeah. you work with it.
Right. Right. And I think people are better off if they work with it and try not to be so.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. I agree.
I tried to block mine for a long time and it just about killed me. So, I, you know, that's when I had to switch and say, well, I'm going to learn how to work with it first and, or try it this way instead of trying to block it because that's going to wreck me.
Mm-hmm.
And, finding a healthy outlet and doing it in a safe way was a better way to do it. And it was healthier for me in the long term, long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, what about yours? You know, your intuition, how long right. have you known? I mean, forever, right?
Well, forever. Yeah. But you know, and then when I came to your class, you know, it was like, oh, this is, I mean, it's really an eye opener. I got to say, for anyone who is just like, has struggled with this for years and you come from a long family line of people who have it, which, you know, yes, I did. You know, we all are, and, you know, we all, you know, can see spirits and hear spirits and whatever too. That's all a different kind of intuition. But it's good. It's good to find someone like you to actually kind of go through these things and how can you make it so it's easier on you, you know, like you talked about grounding and how to ground yourself and the different kinds, like we were just talking about, different kinds of intuition. And it's nothing to be afraid of, you know, but right. this is how you deal with it. And then I remember one of the first classes that we did was feeling those energy fields, which was magic, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. My. Yeah. I was just, my eyes were like pancakes, you know, because I'm like, oh my God, I never did this before. So it's, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just totally amazing. But yeah, it's nothing to be afraid of, people. And if you are getting premonitions and they're bad, well, I don't know. I guess what you need to do is you just need to try to make them not happen and figure them out, you know, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like, yeah.
Just try and work exactly. with, I mean, I would say work with them first. I mean, to cut everything off. I mean, I know it's sometimes scary, but mm-hmm. it's also, there's a reason it's happening. And so maybe it takes a little bit of investigating as to why it's happening. And if it gets to a point where it's just too much, it's too painful, it's too overwhelming, whatever, then yeah, maybe it's, you know, something that should be, you know, try and shut down. But I think more it's how to work with it instead of going against your nature.
Yes.
How do you work with it to bring it in and help find center, you know, your center with it.
Yes.
Instead.
I agree. So yeah, that totally makes much more sense than trying to shut it off. Although you can, I mean, that's just like,
you can, it's just, it's hard.
It's hard, but I mean, it's like shielding yourselves from, you know, the paranormal world too, right? So mm-hmm. you know, we all know when there's spirits around, and well, not everyone, but some of us are very aware of that. But you know, if you try really hard, you can turn off that ability as well, you know. Right. And it's sad. I don't think anybody should do that, but you know, I guess totally up to you. But I think you should learn a little bit about it first and how to control right. it before you make that decision of trying to block yourself from everything, because and like you said, everybody has a little bit of intuitiveness, you know,
yeah.
so, so just listen to it. That gut feeling that you have, well, that's intuition. Maybe you should listen to it once in a while. And, you know, maybe it won't come for a while. You know, maybe you'll say, well, you know, I had this feeling, you know, and then the more you think that way, then the more you build on that. And then the more intuition helps you, right? Because then mm-hmm. you see the signs, you know. But yeah, you know what? We've already talked away a half an hour. I think we need to go to commercial break.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, we should.
So this is the Gathering on the ParaX Network, and we will be back in 2 minutes.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight. Staring into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
UFOs are found in Renaissance art, on ancient coins, and etched on cave walls. They're even reported in the Bible. But more surprising is when UFOs are seen the most, in times of war. Through centuries, thousands of UFO sightings have been made by high-ranking officials, military pilots, and ordinary soldiers. Often, these fantastic appearances occur at the height of great battles. From World War I to D-Day to Korea, Vietnam, and beyond, military investigators are baffled. Why do UFO sightings spike so drastically during wartime? Could it be mistaken aircraft, or is someone or something looking in on us? In UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, Mac Maloney chronicles centuries of these incredible sightings and tries to solve the puzzle of why so many UFOs are seen while humanity is at war. Read about the scare ships, the ghost planes, and the ghost rockets, alien giants in the jungles of Vietnam, UFOs controlling our ICBM bases, dogfights with flying saucers during the Gulf War, and more. 300 pages of unbelievable stories, along with many startling photographs. That's UFOs in Wartime, What They Didn't Want You to Know, by Mac Maloney. On sale at your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Welcome back here to The Gathering on the Para-X Network, and we're talking about intuition tonight. And we both have experience with this, Steph, because we both were born with it. Now, your family was more open about it, isn't that true?
Oh, yes. Both sides. You know, my grandma came from Norway, and, you know, she was in, you know, like as far as spirits go, you know, my auntie used to talk, well, it was her sister, so it was my great auntie, lived in this big old duplex in Northeast Minneapolis, and I remember as a kid going over there and she would talk about the spirits up in the attic, you know, and she would talk to them all the time, you know. Now, when you're a kid, you're kind of like, oh, interesting. But then as you grow, you know, and you start seeing these things yourself, it's like, wow, isn't that cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And my grandma, too, and my mom and my dad, on the other side of the family, my dad, too, comes from a long line of Irish, you know, Irish and German, and that whole power side of the family, which is the Irish side. Oh my gosh, they're all, you know, very sensitive and intuitive and, you know, see spirits all the time. And, you know, one of my cousins, Betty, calls me quite frequently and says, what is going on? Oh my God, they're everywhere. And usually it's been some kind of shift, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I know, we've been seeing them too. Don't worry about it, it'll be fine, you know. So, both sides of the family. And, you know, we all talked about it. And what's interesting is with my siblings, so there's four of us and there's, you know, two girls, two boys, and I'm the youngest of the four. My sister. So my brother, Chris, and I embrace all of this, right? You know, of course, he's not an investigator. He doesn't do all that stuff. But you know, he watches for ghosts and sees ghosts and hears them and whatever, embraces it fully like I do. Now, my other brother and sister, no, they don't want anything to do with it. Totally blocked it all. Love to hear my stories. Don't want anything to do with it. Right.
So they like to hear about it, but they don't want to have their own experiences.
Right. And, you know, they're watch
shows about it or anything like that.
You know, they're intuitive, too. And I know this really is an intuition, but for an example, we were at my brother bought my mom and dad's house. You know, they passed away 14 years ago, and he and his wife bought the house. And we were down there celebrating his birthday a month or so ago. And there was my mom standing there just plain as day in the kitchen, you know, and it was just a brief glimmer.
Did everybody see her?
I saw her and I said, oh, there's mom. You know, and Casey was standing in there, but she was facing me. So she wasn't looking into the kitchen like I was. And she was like, oh God, somebody just tugged on my ear. And she said, it's grandma, you know, or, you know, my mom, you know, and I'm like, oh. And Chris says, yeah, they're always here, you know? And my sister's like, what?
Oh,
well,
cool.
I didn't see her. And I'm like, well, because you've turned it off, Priscilla, you got to turn it back on and then you'll be able to see them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was just the coolest thing ever. Cause yeah, plain as day, just momentary, you know, just flash. There she was. And then, you know, like I said, she touched Casey's ear and, you know, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, I know that's not really intuition, but kind of sort. It's all on the same line.
I mean, you're seeing something that is not physically there. So yes, that's clairvoyance. I mean, so yes, that's intuition.
Yes, exactly. Oh, gosh. Ghost Dance is saying, can you imagine Chris on an investigation? Actually, I would love to go on an investigation with Chris. I think it would be amazing and eye-opening, and I think he would be amazed at what we do out there, you know, because he's never experienced it. But yes, he sure, like I said, he embraces it. And he, you know, I remember when he used to stay with my grandpa down at their house years ago, and he would talk about, you know, the ghosts of that house. You know, grandma and grandpa from Norway were there and doing stuff, and he could hear a cough. And it turns out that a couple of the brothers from Norway died actually of tuberculosis, you know, in the 30s. And he could hear that coughing, you know, you know, at nighttime. Just crazy things, you know. So Sherry has a question, though, and she's asking, what if your family is closed but you're open? So that's you. Right?
Yeah, that's on my end of the deal here. So I grew up, you know, when I remember being little. Like, this is before I moved to the house we grew up in, Burnsville, which we moved when I was about, because my first birthday there was 5. So I remember when I was like 3 or 4 being in the first house I grew up in. And I remember knowing things about the neighbors that my parents thought was kind of weird. And I would know who I could go over, because this is, you know, this is a while ago. So, you know, I could go to the neighbors and ring the doorbell, just like I could pick them out of off the street. I knew what house I could go up to, ring the doorbell, and hang out.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I mean, some part of me must have been, like, incredibly bold or stupid, because, but I just knew. I walk up these doors. You know, I'm 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
I'm a little kid, and I walk up these houses, and I'd ring the door, and they'd answer the door, and they're like, well, you know, look at you, what are you doing? And they just chat. I'd get candy, it was all good. I'd hang out on the front steps. I wouldn't go in.
Right.
I don't think they wanted me in either, because they're like, what is this little rat doing here? But you know, I knew it was safe. And then there were other houses that I was like, this is a mess. Like, that I would never go up to that house.
Right.
It scared the heck out of me. And I never maybe saw the people. I had no idea.
Right.
But I just knew it was bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get in trouble for all of it. It didn't matter. But, you know, I get in trouble for going to people I didn't know. I did know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because, but I mean, I remember, you know, my parents would, like, maybe go to someone's house. And I'm like, why are we going here? Let's go to the people down the street. They're way nicer. And my parents are like, we don't know them. And I'm like, yeah, but they're nicer. These people are, there's not, you know, and so I wouldn't want to go there because I just knew that this wasn't, like, something's right.
Yeah.
But my parents didn't understand it. And so I would see things and I would point to my, you know, I'd like point to them and tell them, like, there's someone standing there. Oh, there's no one there.
Mm-hmm.
You're just imagining it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I remember at some point, maybe when I was 5 or 6, they're like, you need to stop watching scary movies.
Oh.
Because I was scared. I'm like, there's a man in my bedroom. They're like, there's no man in your bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, there is a man in my bedroom. I'm scared. I'm not going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Go to bed. There's no one in there. And you need to quit watching scary movies. I'm like, I don't like scary movies. They're scary. I don't watch scary movies. I'm 6.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a ridiculous argument because they just, I'm like, how did you, obviously they didn't believe me. And I remember when I got a little bit older, I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and I had to share a room. And we ended up having to share, I think it was a double bed when we shared the room. And so she was like, I think 3. She's 5 years younger than me. So she was 3. And I remember waking up many, many, many nights and seeing multiple people standing around the bed.
Oh.
And the way it looked was, you know, in the movies, well, it's not movies, it's real, you know, where people stand around burn barrels in like, downtown or wherever.
Right.
You know? And so it looked like people standing around a burn barrel, except the burn barrel was my bed and it wasn't on fire. They were just standing around the bed, like standing there, hanging out. And I'm like, this is totally creepy, and I'm scared to death.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what they
terrifying.
Were doing.
Yeah.
They were standing there. So I took off. When I got bold enough, I would take off, run across the room, which I had to go past a lot of these people, and go and wake up. And I had to pick and choose who I would wake up in the middle of the night, because either one was terrifying. Like, I didn't know. It's either the people are going to get me that are in my room, or I'm going to get in trouble from one of my parents. But I decided to risk it and go wake up my mom because she seemed the least threatening. And after a while, she got really, really upset because I kept waking her up. And she's like, I can't hear this anymore. There's nobody in your room. I'm like, oh, my God. But Shannon's in there. My sister's still in there. I'm like, we got to get her out. Come on. They're in there. We got to get her out. And so then it got to the point where I would just go because I would get in trouble, like big trouble. Mm-hmm. And I would get spankings and all that stuff. And so then I'd just get up and I'd go and run into my parents' room and stand next to my mom's bed and just stand there. And I'd be crying like really quiet so I didn't wake her up. But I'd just stand there for like hours. It felt like hours. It was probably minutes, mm-hmm. but it mm-hmm. was a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'd just stand there crying until I got like, I just got to go back to bed. I don't know what else to do. And then finally I just said, well, I got to quit leaving her in there. Because I don't know what she's gonna do. She, you know. So I thought, well, I'll stay in there. And but it was so frustrating because my parents didn't understand what I was talking about, mm-hmm. and they didn't believe me. Mm-hmm. And I would ask. I'd go to, you know, my mom. My parents my dad's passed away, but my mom's still with us, and she works in the Catholic Church. My dad was very Catholic growing up, so I was in church a lot, and I decided to ask about spirits at church because mm-hmm. they talk about them all the time, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so I'm asking, I'm like, well, what do I do with them when I see them?
Yeah.
Like, you talk to them here. Now, what do I do? And they're like, what? You don't talk to them. Only certain people in the church can talk to them. If you're talking to spirits, it's false prophets or it's the devil or it's whatever. I'm like, it's just a guy. It's not the devil. It's just a guy. I'm like, what do I do with them?
Yeah.
Your imagination, blah, blah, blah. It's just nothing there. Just ignore it. And I'm like, okay, no help from you either. Yes. Got it. So, and I'm not saying every church is like this. It's just the one that I went to. So it was really hard. And it, I actually became over the years, and I really remember this from being a teenager into when I was like in college, I became really freaked out. Like, if I could say it's like PTSD, because mm-hmm. I was a wreck, like all the time. I was paranoid. I was jumpy. I couldn't go in a room without feeling them. I knew they were there if it was daytime. If it was nighttime, I could usually kind of see some stuff. But daytime, it was harder to see them. And so I was really a mess. I could not function right. I always had to have lights on. I couldn't, I didn't want to go out, but I didn't want to stay in. I didn't know who to talk to about it. Nobody believed me. It was awful. It was awful. So, it was, I don't know. I mean, it was awful to have no support. Nobody in my family believed me.
That's bad. That's
bad. And it was very confusing. I mean, mm-hmm. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. And I thought I might be, you know, I was starting to think by the time I got in my 20s that I had a mental illness. And it was either that or I was going to remove myself from the planet just to make it go away because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
So that was hard. And that's when, you know, I get into my 20s and my spirit guides kind of give me a big, they grab me by the ears and shake me and go, we got to get this figured out because you've got work to do, lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't have you keep freaking out on us like this.
Right.
And I'm like, well, then help a girl out because I don't understand. Like, who the heck am I talking to?
Yeah.
Like,
who the heck are you?
So, it was, but what was interesting because I started to understand more about this, and my spirit guides really stepped up and started working with me, which in the beginning I was just kind of, I think I was so tired that I didn't care that I didn't see who I was talking to, but they were helping me. And then it started to turn around and I started to work with it instead of fight
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. it was interesting because over time I thought, well, this kind of, it kind of runs in families, I think.
Not
everybody has it, or some, like you said, your family, some of them block it or they don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And I understand nobody on either side of the family has anything. Well, and then I find out, not even that long ago, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, that my mom, who had become really freakishly supportive of me and my business that I had, it was, she finally admitted that she had it when she. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which made, I was really upset at first.
Well, yeah, because she, her all those years, she was telling you there was nothing there, but she probably could see him too, right? And just knew that, that's not good. But, you know, like, even the younger members, you know, why is it that some families have it and some families don't, though? Because, you know, like, even like my niece Heather, who's not much younger than me, actually, because my sister is so much older than me, she, when she was a child, she used to play with
George in her room, and George was, you know, a playmate, and, you know, Priscilla said always an imaginary friend, and I'm like, eh, I don't think so. And then when Heather had Wyatt had, they lived in this old house over on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, yeah, and super old, and he would always talk about this baby in his room named Reagan. Okay, Reagan, is that like a century-year-old name? I mean, people just don't name babies Reagan these days, mm-hmm, you know? I mean, and where would he even come up with that kind of a name, you right know? But, you know, oh, yeah, he has this whatever. And I remember Casey, I shouldn't even talk about this on the air, but I don't think they listen to this anyway. But I remember Casey was over there. And so Wyatt was maybe 2 or 3. I mean, he's like 11 now. And he still talks about Reagan, by the way. But she would go over there. She was over there once, and she went up there to play with them or whatever. And she said, you know, Wyatt, you know, is Reagan here right now? You know, and he said, no, she's not here right now. She's a baby, but she'll come later or whatever. And then they played for a little while, and then all of a sudden he said, well, Reagan is here, you know? And it's like, right? And so to this day, I mean, every once in a while we'll ask him about, you know, Reagan, because we talk about, because now he's old enough to understand, you know, and we all right talk about George and Reagan. And, you know, I mean, nobody ever told him he was crazy, but it was an imaginary friend, right? Right. You know, and it's like, there still is no real. Yeah, there is no such thing as an imaginary friends, really. I don't think. I think kids are seeing, because they're so much more open than adults, mm-hmm, because yeah, we're taught to believe that there is no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as Bigfoot. There's no such thing as UFOs. So if you actually see this, oh, you're crazy. This isn't happening. You know what I mean? Which is really sad, you right know?
Yeah, and that, you know, it goes to, you know, one of the questions that you just asked was, you know, why is it stronger in some than others? You know, why does it run in some families and not in others? And, you know, like I said before, I think it's everybody is intuitive to some degree, yes, you know, and especially as children, we're much more open because we don't have those filters yet.
Yes.
You know, we don't have those filters in place from life experiences or people yes telling us certain things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got, we're just more open to anything. Anything's possible when we're a kid. And, you know, so many families, that's the way it is. You just shut it down or it doesn't exist, mm-hmm, or whatever. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't fight it. You know, it just is so strong. And I think sometimes it's just like any natural talent that a person has. You know, some people are very gifted musically.
Yeah.
Some people are very gifted athletically.
Yes.
Some people are very gifted intellectually. You know, mm-hmm, I just think that mm-hmm sometimes it's another kind of a natural gift.
Yes.
That can
mm-hmm
run in a family as yes just like any of the other stuff, or not just run in families. It doesn't have to run in families. Sometimes it's,
right,
you know, you've got the odd kid out or something, but
yeah,
it's more common to have it run yeah in families. But I think it's also, like I said, it can run like a natural gift.
Yes. Yes.
That can be developed, you know, just because mm-hmm someone's good at sports doesn't mean they're good the first time they play. I mean, they
no
just might have a natural aptitude
they work
for
at it. Yeah.
They still have to practice,
mm-hmm,
you know, they still have
mm-hmm
to work at it and to get it stronger to, you know, anything. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so the family thing, and you know, I don't know what made me think of this, but you know, one of my favorite movies of all time is Practical Magic, you know,
oh, yeah.
The witches, and you know,
yeah,
they all, remember they were always, you know, the redhead would say, well, when am I going to, how come I can't do this? Oh, we don't worry about you because we know you have it and it's just mm-hmm a matter of time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so and it's the same with intuition, I think, and all these other things, you know, you have to work at it, understand it, you know, talk to people and, you know, figure it out, you know,
mm-hmm,
and you yeah can have it, make it work for you, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you have to, you know, it's helpful, which I didn't have this. It's helpful to find a mentor, you know, someone that can
right
work with you and
mm-hmm
answer your questions. And if it can't be a parent, you know, it's cool because I do have parents that bring their kids in to work with me because they don't know how to answer the questions or work with their kid, but at least they believe them.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge
mm-hmm
for a kid
yes
to say, okay, at least mom doesn't know what I'm talking about, but she's not saying it's wrong or she's not saying it doesn't exist. She's just saying, I don't know. Let's
yes
find someone that can help you
yes
because I can't answer those questions. So I think that's super cool.
That is very
you know
cool
that just to have someone that believes you
mm-hmm
is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just think how that would have helped you if your mom would have even said that and not shared with you that she could see these things too. If she would have just said, I believe you, but, you know, we just have to cool it, you know, and just let's calm down, you know, instead of saying there's nothing.
Something.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard when you just get shut down and you're like, am I crazy? Do I not see this? Like, what's happening? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, exactly. Yeah, it can be developed. Anybody can work with it. But it's not, you know, it goes back to that aptitude, you know, or this natural talent. You know, anybody can, you know, I've used this analogy that, you know, there might be a better one out there. But, you know, that it's playing the piano. Anybody can walk mm-hmm. up to a piano and bang on the keys, right?
Right.
It doesn't mean you're going to play Mozart or mm-hmm. anything like that, but anybody can walk up to a piano and play a few something, even just bang on the keys. So that's mm-hmm. like intuition. Everybody's got a little something.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't mean you're going to play a yes. song, but you got something.
Yes.
And anybody can practice and develop yeah. it to some degree. Does it mean sure. at some point you're going to play Mozart? Maybe not.
No.
Maybe you're going to far exceed whatever that's Mozart right. could come up with. Who yes. knows? Nobody knows.
You don't know. Nobody knows. That's right.
But some, you know, don't get frustrated if you can barely play chopsticks. Well, it just may not be your thing. That's okay. But you can do something mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess the whole thing is do you want to develop like we said, everybody has intuition, but you need to want to develop it and understand it. And if that's what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And you can, just like mm-hmm. learning how to play the piano or learning how to be a better athlete. It's the same thing. There's lots of resources out there for you to learn, you know, what kind of things to do to help you along. You know, grounding is one good thing. Everybody should know about grounding because if they're constantly have this intuition thing happening, they need to know how to ground themselves and how to settle it down a little bit, you know, so you don't go crazy, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many things to do. And this, when I teach the class, it's like, here's what we start with first before we open the door. It's, you know, here's what we do first mm-hmm. to prepare ourselves to open the door. Now, granted, sometimes our door is already open. You know, we're already intuitive, but here's how we can manage it. And then we can continue to develop it.
Yes. Yes. So absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Bubble. Bubble Kitty is making an appearance on The Gathering. Imagine that.
Shocking.
It is shocking. Here she is looking right at me over the computer. oh, my fur babies, let me tell you. So, yeah, so, you know, okay, one question, and I know we're kind of almost out of time here, but...
Well, there's a question that just popped into the chat room. Yeah, Sherry in the chat room was asking if my guides are relatives or were your guides relatives. And no, they're not relatives. And most people's spirit guides aren't usually relatives that they know from this lifetime or the current mm-hmm. lifetime that they're in. Usually they're spirit guides that they've worked with for multiple lifetimes. So they're not usually. Now, yes, you can have one. I'm not saying it's a absolute not, but it's more often than not your family members.
Mm-hmm.
That are your spirit guides. Their spirit guides, they've worked with you for multiple lifetimes, usually. So mm-hmm. they're not going to be related to you in this human body way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but it was interesting because I remember getting really frustrated and scared and freaked out when I was a kid. I think I was probably 8 or 9. The one that I remember, the first one, I was sitting in the downstairs living room in my house the house in Burnsville. And I was sitting on the couch and I was so frustrated and I was just sitting there and I didn't know whether I should cry or scream or just like pass out and hope I died in the, you know, like if I could just pass out and die right now, that would be great. Cause I am so done with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I remember this man sitting down in front of me, coming down and saying, like, he came down the stairs and he sat in front of me. I think it was on an ottoman or a coffee table. And he sat across from me and he said, "What do you need to know?" And I was like, "Really? Okay."
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know if I was going to be okay. And I think that's how it started. And I started talking to him and we had a really good conversation and he said things. I just remember not understanding him fully because he was mm-hmm. talking like an adult,
mm-hmm.
but I understood him enough that I knew I was safe with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't come around often. It was just once in a while. I think it was to save me from myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I get to that point where I was going to, you know, fling myself off the, ledge.
Yes, yes.
It was, you know, he'd step in.
Yeah.
And some others would too, but I didn't know who they were, but I knew that I could trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cool.
Yeah, but it wasn't anyone I ever knew in the physical way of this lifetime. So, but I know now that they were my spirit guide stepping in going, this is like high alert. We got to step in and actually make this thing happen or she's going to tip off the edge. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. And I think, you know, they do that. Yeah, I don't talk to my spirit guides, but I know they're there. And I know they definitely yep. say, don't do this, don't do that, whatever. Because all of a sudden you might be doing something and then you'll just stop. Oh, I don't want to do that anymore. Okay, well, isn't that weird? That's because, you know, something's, you know, telling you to do something different, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And I think these family members, people are saying, you know, are your spirit guides. You know, I do think there are different family members that hang around after they've passed away. My dad yeah. is one for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's here often, you know? Yeah. But he's not my spirit guide. He's my right. dad, you know? And he comes around and hangs out and tells me everything's cool. And, you know, I kind of tell him the same thing. But it's not like a spirit guide. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, they're different. And on the mm-hmm. chat room, Sherry is saying that hers are from past lives. And that can be true. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, mine might be from past lives that I've known, you know, but right. they've been now spirit guides for a while of mine. And we've worked together for many years. So, but yeah, it's usually not people that have passed away in this lifetime that we knew in this lifetime as a human.
Mm-hmm.
If they're yeah. around, they're not necessarily your spirit guides. Because yeah. your spirit guides came in with you to this life that you're in. So they were here before you were born. So they could, you know, it's just not common for them to be family members of this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. So, wow. Well, this was a really good conversation. This was a
yeah,
really
it was fun. It's always fun talking about this. So, and I know that there's a million pieces that we didn't cover on this because you could talk about this for about 4 hours not get it all covered.
Well, and still. You know, maybe the next scene, you know, maybe we'll talk about it again in another few months and do some more aspects that we didn't touch on tonight.
Yeah.
You know, because we can always do that. But yeah, no, this was a good conversation. We had people asking questions in the chat room and, you know, we talked about a little bit of everything, which is what we always manage to do. Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, my. Well, we have 3 minutes left, Heidi. So what's shaking with you for the coming weekend?
Let's see here. Well, I've got my ghost hunting 102 class on Thursday, mm-hmm. next Thursday. So we're mm-hmm. going back to the elementary school.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
The one that we talked with someone, and we asked them what kind of car they would want to have, if they could have any kind of car
yes,
they wanted. And they said
I remember
black
that.
Cadillac.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said a black Cadillac. And if you guys want to hear the EVP, well, I said actually it was for the Ghost Box. It's on the MPRS Facebook page, and you can listen to it there. I put a whole bunch of stuff from recent investigations, so you guys can check it out. Yeah. But yeah, the black Cadillac one was pretty cool, and that we're going back there on Thursday and then next Thursday. So I'm
That's
excited
awesome.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah, can't wait to hear what's going on with that. So. So I'm going to grab a couple of the gals from Squatchers, and we're going to go down to, you know, there's been this weird bird sighting in down by Fort Snelling. There, it's been all over the news that it's like some kind of creature that's like twice as big as an eagle, dark brown. And I was telling Casey this, you know, and she drives for a living, you know, and she was down in that area, and she's, Mom, I saw it. And I said, you did? And she said, yeah, I was flying over the road from the airport kind of leading to...
What was it?
Hiawatha. She doesn't know. She said it was huge, Mom. It wasn't
bigger than an eagle. What a
bigger
pterodactyl!
Than an eagle, right? I don't you wonder? And it wasn't you know a blue heron or whatever. And she said, you know, she comes and sees the eagles with me all the time, right? So she definitely knows how big eagles are, how big hawks are, how big even golden eagles are, which are the biggest of the bunch. And she said it was ginormous. And she just caught it out of the corner of her eyes because I was telling her about the story that I had read about this guy at the VA hospital who saw this thing. And I'm like, wow, we got to go check it out. So I think we're going to go to the VA hospital first. And we're just not that it's going to be there, but I just want to see where this guy saw this. You know, it was kind of like in a field and he flew over the road. And then, you know, that Minnesota River Wildlife Refuge is just on the other side of Fort Snelling there, you know, and there's a lot of stuff in there, you know.
Mm-hmm,
so
for sure.
I'm hopeful that we can get in there, and I'm not saying we're going to see it, but I would love to see it, whatever it is, because you remember Mike Richburg talked about that big winged creature on our show not too long ago.
And he said it was brown too and big. So, but, you know, we'll look for a little squatch. It's kind of squatchy down there, you know, and stuff. And we'll just see what we can find. We're not going to spend all day or anything. But, you know, a couple hours, it'll just be kind of a fun little excursion, you know. Cool. So we'll see what we can find. But, yeah, it's coming up. Thunderbird. Yeah, maybe, Sherry. You just never know. Big, maybe. Big. Much bigger than an eagle, they say.
Cool. All right. We should get going. But thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, come back. We'll be back again next week at the same time, same channel.
And thank you, yeah, to Pair X for hosting our show, of course, and Sarge for producing us. And all of you for listening. We're very grateful.
Thank you, and have a great week. And thanks to the troops who might be listening, too.
Yes.
We want to shout out to them wherever you are. Thank you for your service.